For the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision legalizing abortion for any reason at any time, right up till birth, Lutherans for Life has the theme, Living with Dying. This theme strikes me as revolting, yet revealing, as terrible, yet terribly comforting. Many have lived willfully with dying for the past 40 years, and that's revolting and terrible. Politicians have trumpeted a woman's right to choose to bring death to a child. The new health care bill mandates that all insurance plans, including our own, pay for abortions. So sacred is the right to kill the unborn that present-day politicians have decided no one has the right to deny it. They're not living with the dying of children, they're promoting it. Our politicians are not even as noble as pagan Rome. Rome refused to allow the Gauls, the Celts, and the Carthaginians to engage in human sacrifice. Ours insist on the right to sacrifice some humans. Our politicians aren't the only ones who have lived with the dying of the unborn for the past 40 years. So have our social service agencies. Life Decisions International says the following agencies support abortion provider Planned Parenthood: Girl Scouts, Kiwanis Clubs, Lions Clubs, March of Dimes, Muscular Dystrophy Association, Salvation Army, and Save the Children. Don't you find it terribly ironic that an organization called Save the Children pays for them to be killed? This is as old as Athens. Plutarch remarked how the Athenians have a way of softening the badness of a thing by giving it a pretty and innocent name. They called harlots mistresses. They called taxes customs. We call killing children saving them. Or worse, we call it a choice. Politicians, social service agencies, and churches have lived with the dying of babies for these past 40 years. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America does it openly on their website. They support a woman's right to make the choice to end a pregnancy, saying it is too complex of a decision for anyone else to sit in judgment. They're not alone. The United Methodist, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, and many other churches live with the dying of the unborn. We won't, we can't, because the fifth commandment won't let us. God says, thou shalt not murder. The location of the human life is not an issue. I do not have the right to take human life for personal reasons, whether it's in a room or outdoors, does not matter. Whether in the womb or outside the womb, doesn't matter. In fact, life in the womb mattered so much to God that he sent his only son into the womb to redeem even the unborn. We can't despise what God shows is worth the suffering, bleeding, and dying of his son, lest we find ourselves despising him too. Up until the 20th century, no one calling himself Christian was for abortion. Athenagoras, a second century church father, said everyone knew that Christians opposed abortion. It is unchristian to be for abortion. That's one of the reasons that our synod is not in fellowship with the ELCA. That's one of the reasons Trinity does not commune members of the LCMS who believe members of the ELCA should be invited to our altars. We will not promote living with the dying of the unborn by communing those who believe it's okay to commune with churches who accept abortion. Many have lived with the dying of the unborn for 40 years. We haven't, we won't. But there are some who must live with dying. A baby being killed in the womb is not the only kind of living with dying. The person with a terminal illness lives with dying every day of his life till the end. He wakes up every single day to the realization, I am dying. Couples trying to have kids live with dying every single month, until God grants conception. Every month, the passing of the menses indicates to them that there's no life yet. The elderly live with dying each year. There comes an age when you realize it's just as likely you won't see another new year as you will. Of course, in reality, we all are living with dying, not just the terminally ill, not just the childless, not just the elderly. And I'm not just talking about physical dying. We're all living with spiritual dying. Scripture says we're all spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. And that is a dying we cannot live with and don't have to. And delivered from spiritual dying, we can live with some kinds of physical dying. Jesus lived with dying. Although he is the second person of the Godhead, although he is life itself, he took on death. He stared at it from conception in the womb of Mary on. Christian art has depictions of the baby Jesus in the arms of Mary, struggling to get away from the cross. Poetic license? No, stark reality. Remember how in John, Jesus repeatedly talks about his hour? That's the hour of his death. And Jesus lived with that hour all his life. Jesus knows what the terminally ill, the childless, the elderly live with day in and day out. The God who is life lived with death. He did this for us. For us and our salvation, God the Son took on flesh and blood in the Virgin Mary's womb, and from conception on was the perfect embryo, fetus, baby, toddler, teen, and adult. But his mission wasn't just to live a perfect life in our place. His mission was also to redeem guilty sinners, to pay the price, to free them from sin, from death, and from the devil. His mission was to satisfy God's wrath against a world of sinners. Remember on the movie Forrest Gump, the woman who had been abused as a child goes back to her childhood home with Forrest and proceeds to throw rock after rock in rage against the place where she was abused. Her wrath was real, and it was right. Now, if you can understand how a sinner can have wrath real and right against another sinner, how much more so the holy God against sinners like us? The young woman was depicted as abused, but her abuse was nothing compared to how I abuse God's gift and mercies. Her father had violated the sacred trust he had as a father. I've treated my heavenly father as if he couldn't be trusted. She had a right to be mad at her father. God has a right to be enraged at me. In the movie, the woman finally is exhausted and stops. And Forrest sagely says, "Sometimes I guess there just aren't enough rocks." Her just wrath couldn't be satisfied by throwing rocks against a house. God's wrath was satisfied by crucifying his son and throwing against him all the pains of an eternal hell due our unbelief and sins. Even the sin of living with the dying of the unborn. But our story doesn't end with Jesus dead on the cross. If it did, it would be the same as the woman walking away from the house. Her wrath wasn't satisfied, just spent for naught. God's wrath against my sins, your sins, our sins, even the sins of abortionists, even the sins of the men who pay for them, even the sins of the women who suffer them, his wrath was satisfied on that cross. And we know that because the Father raised the Son on Easter. The perfect Son of God died to pay for sins. Once those sins were paid for, death could not hold him. Try holding a basketball underwater. It must come bursting to the surface. The man Jesus, because he is God in flesh and blood, is life itself. Once the world's sins were paid for, he had to burst forth from death to live forever. Where God goes, the man Jesus goes in the person of Jesus. The human and divine natures were joined in Mary's womb, never to be separated again. So when death had to let loose the divine nature, the human nature joined to it was let loose as well. In this Jesus, spiritual death is defeated. God is no longer angry, and sinners are invited to find shelter from sin, shelter from devil, shelter from even death. So in Jesus, sinners can live with dying. For the Christian, it's not death to die. The terminally ill or elderly don't live staring at the end. They live each day staring at a door, the door. Jesus says that he's the door to everlasting life. You haven't watched enough scary movies if you don't know the difference between a wall and a door when being chased. Yes, even the Christian is chased by sin, death, and the devil every day of his life. But wait, there's a door. When death comes to the Christian, Jesus, the door opens to a living without dying. Couples living with a monthly dying, telling them that there is no child, can know in Jesus that this is not a judgment. All sins were paid for. All sins were judged on Jesus on the cross. The psalm says he has not rewarded us according to our sins. The devil lies when he points to that monthly dying as proof of your sins. Your sins, unless somehow you're not part of the world, were carried away by Jesus. Your sins, unless they somehow were not on Jesus, were finished being paid for when Jesus declared from the cross, "It is finished." Not having children is a dying some have to live with, but not one of them has to live with their sins or believe the devil's taunts. But what about those living with the death of the unborn? The politicians, the social service agencies, the churches, the individuals embracing abortions. They're calling down God's judgment upon them. And they won't be able to stand. They won't be able to live with the second death that eventually comes. But what about the 14% of girls under 20 and the 33% of women by age 45 who have the death of an unborn child on their conscience? What about all those girls, teens, and women for whom we have made killing their baby as easy as taking a pill? How can they live with this death? You cannot live with dying by giving good reasons you had for causing the death. You cannot live with dying by promising to make up for the life you ended. Your only hope, your only relief is the door of life. Jesus, who stands open to you in baptism's waters and absolution's words. As often as you're hounded by that death or by any other sin, run to Jesus and die to your sin, your guilt, yourself in his open arms, and rise in his forgiveness and peace. He's the death of death and the death of your sin and guilt too. Place all your sins, all your guilt on Jesus. He will bear them from you. He will bear them away from you. He will bear them for you. It's terribly comforting living with dying when it's revealed that the death and life belong to Jesus. Then with St. Paul you can say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me." Amen. The peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.